Hello, I'm Rick Lancaster, in case you don't know me. I want to welcome you to Calvary Chapel, French Valley. I know some of you are visiting, and some of you, it's the first time here. Some of you might be watching online. We are streaming live, so welcome. Hi, Mom. She's watching. Say hi to Mom. Thank you. To most of our country and many parts around the world, the first Sunday after the first full moon following the vernal equinox is referred to as Easter Sunday, right? And before I became a Christian, I had a sense that this particular Sunday was more important to Christians than any other Sunday, primarily because Kelly made it that way. She communicated to me pretty clearly that this particular Sunday was important. And so, like millions of non-Christians today, I would go to church on this one Sunday a year. Maybe. Not always. I wasn't looking for God. I didn't feel I was missing something in my life. I didn't have a tragedy I was trying to deal with. I didn't have questions I was trying to answer. I did it for her. Only reason I did it. And so I went to lots of Easter Sunday services. And you know what? I didn't get saved at one. So I don't know if the pastors weren't on their game that day or whatever. No, I didn't get saved at an Easter Sunday service. I did eventually become a Christian, though. And something changed in me. And the source of that change is the same for all Christians, though it manifests differently in each one. You know, even though I have always been a living being, right? We would acknowledge that I've probably always been alive, right? Thank you, yes. Kelly. She's right there for me, always supporting me. It was only after I became a Christian that I was truly alive. And while that may sound weird to some of you, I'm going to pray and then I'm going to explain what I mean by that. So let's pray and then we'll talk. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time we have here today while we come on this very particular Sunday. And Lord, there are people here I don't know. And so, Lord, for whatever reason they're here, I pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that they're here. And Lord, it maybe they're like I was here because someone else brought me. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that even in this time, Lord, that they would just be able to rest for a minute. And Lord, if it be your will, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts and help them to see what it is that I eventually saw in my own life. Lord, we desire to be truly alive here today. Whether we've been Christians not for very long or for decades, many decades, Lord, there is more life than typically we are living. And so I pray, Lord, give us a heart to see what you would say to your church today. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of this morning's message is Truly Alive. If you have a Bible or would like to follow along, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2 today, Ephesians 2. There's a term that we use when we describe becoming a Christian. It's a very Christianese kind of a term, and it's a term of being born again. Anybody ever heard that term before? Being born again. It comes from John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus was having a conversation with a religious leader, and Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And this man, Nicodemus, that Jesus was speaking to, didn't understand what Jesus was trying to say. It didn't make sense to him what Jesus was trying to communicate. And before I became a Christian, it didn't make sense to me either. I had no idea what that term meant, but that's exactly what happened to me. I can still remember it. There was something happened. Something changed in me that was different than before. I can still distinctly, it's been a little while now, but it hasn't been so long that I can't remember a before and an after time. There was a change that took place. And the Apostle Paul talks about that here in Ephesians chapter 2. Starting in verse 1, he says, "And you," this would be you Christians, "he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves," notice that's all once conducted ourselves, "in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others," just like everybody else. "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Because of God's amazing love and grace and mercy, because of the immensity of his love for us, he made us alive. Well, if you're like me before I was saved, somebody would say something like that, and I would say, like, "What? What are you talking about? It didn't make sense." And I imagine there's somebody here that it doesn't make sense to you either. But let me give you an illustration. It's not a great illustration, but it's the best I can come up with, you know, in my who I am. Did you know that approximately 1 out of 20 people are born colorblind? Anybody know that? Here's an interesting statistic. 1 out of 12 men are colorblind. 1 out of 200 women. That's not fair. Anybody colorblind here? Just curious. Anybody? Well, there's one. A man, notice that. He is a man. Yeah. It's currently incurable. You can't cure colorblindness. It's genetic. Now, technology is developing some tools that increase color vision, but you can't cure it. They're researching gene therapy in the hopes that they might cure it, but right now you can't cure it. You can't make a colorblind person see color. They can't see it. You can point to the sky and say the sky is blue. That means nothing to them. You can't make them understand what blue is. You can train people that certain things are certain colors, right? You could train somebody that the traffic lights, the top one's red, the middle one's yellow, and the bottom one is green. And the middle one means go really fast. But you can't actually make them see the colors. And nothing you do is going to make them understand what blue is, what red is, what green is. You can't make them understand it because it's not possible. They have no frame of reference to understand what those colors are. Some people are born blind to colors. All people are born blind to the things of God. We are life blind. Before I was saved, I looked at life very pragmatically. All life is headed toward one thing: death. That was it. Life happened, and then death happened. And there was nothing after that. And so that tainted my view of everything. Everything in my life had that reality coloring it and tainting it so that I viewed everything from the perspective there's going to be an end, there's going to be a finality, everything has an end, and the end is death. Nothing comes after that. But then God made me alive. It wasn't anything I did. He did all the work. He made it happen. And suddenly, everything doesn't end in death. All of a sudden, I'm realizing, I'm experiencing, I'm learning that death is not the end. And it changed everything for me. It changed me as a person. Everything in life is on purpose. Everything on life has an eternal component, an eternal purpose, and an eternal meaning. Everything in life. And before, I didn't see that. I couldn't see that. I was blind to it. Now, everywhere I look, rather than being life being tainted by death, now I see life everywhere. Even in physical death, I see life. That's what Easter Sunday is all about. On a Friday afternoon, almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus, God the Son in human flesh, died on a cross for the sins of the whole world, for all of the bad choices, all of the mistakes, all the horrible acts, all of the just the little tiny things to the great big gigantic things. He died for them all. And he did that so that it was possible for us to be in a right relationship with God. Because before that, there was no way to be right with God. And so he took all of our sins, he took all of our mistakes, he took all of our poor choices, he took all of our wrong thoughts and wrong ideas, he took all of the junk of our lives upon himself, and he went to the cross in our place. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, "For he made him, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, he was perfectly sinless, to be sin, took all of our sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Jesus took our sins onto himself so that we could be forgiven of our sins, so that our mistakes, our errors, our wickedness, our evil, our just poor choices, all of that stuff could be forgiven. Every last one of them could be forgiven so that we could have our sins taken away, so that we could be made alive. Because before that, there was no way to be right with God. There was no way. We would have gone through this entire life, you know, life blind, spiritually separated from God, and we'd have spent all of eternity like that. And that's not God's plan for us. So Jesus took our sins to the cross on our behalf. And then on the third day, on a Sunday morning, just as he said he would, he rose from the dead. And because Jesus rose from the dead, anyone who believes in him is given life. Not just given life, that their entire reality changes. And we have this reality, this awareness, the ability to see into the spiritual, which before we were absolutely blind to. And that's a problem for us, because just like a colorblind person can see, right? They can see, they just don't see the same way that what's a non-colorblind person? How would you rephrase that? A non-colorblind person. You know, a person that can see colors, they see them differently, right? We see completely, we see clearly, they don't. Depending on the degree of their color blindness. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ means that my sins, your sins, are taken away that we may have life. Jesus said in John 10:10, "I have come they may have life and they may have it more abundantly." I said earlier that when I was saved, something changed in me. It changed for me. In fact, lots of things have changed, and they're still changing. Say, thank you, Jesus. But a big one was my perspective. It changed the way I saw things. I changed the way I viewed this world and life and the things of this world and life. Once God opened my spiritual eyes, I started to see the world differently. You know, the secular world has a real problem with Christians, and they often refer to us as narrow-minded and lots of different terms they use for us, you know, as if we are ignorant, really. And the reality is, as Christians, if you truly are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you see so much more clearly than they do. And they just don't understand it. And because my vision changed, because my perspectives changed, it changed the way that I lived and is changing the way that I lived. I started to be truly alive. I'm going to share with you today three perspectives that change in the life of a believer once they have been made alive by God. Things that change for me, and maybe one or more of them might be significant for you. But the first perspective of the resurrection is this life is not all there is. Before becoming a Christian, life was, you are born, you live, you die, and become worm food. That was life. There was nothing after. And you hope that you leave behind you more than a plaque where they dumped your corpse in the ground. You're hoping for more than that in life. But really, that's in my mind, that's all life was. There wasn't anything else beyond that. It was all about this time, this place, right now, and nothing else really mattered. But because Jesus was raised from the dead, I know that I also will be raised from the dead. Therefore, this life is not all there is. In John 5:24, it says this, "Most assuredly," Jesus speaking, "I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me," him being God, "has everlasting life." That is an absolute promise, a guarantee. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you have, present tense, continuing forward, eternal life, and shall not come into judgment, but have passed from death into life. You have been born out of a life blindness into a real relationship with God. You are alive, truly alive. And before I was a Christian, for me, death was a deadline. It was a point in time. I didn't know when it was coming, but I knew it was coming. And it was a time where I had to get certain things done. You know, it's where the idea of the bucket list comes from, right? You've heard of the idea of a bucket list. Certain things I got to do before I kick the bucket. There was a sense of urgency, but there's also a sense of stress and fear and all these other things associated with the finality of a physical death. But when I came to realize that's not the end, it changed everything for me. The idea that this life is not all there is. There is more to it than that. It goes on and on and on forever. That this life ultimately becomes a preparation for the next life. One of the things we got to keep in mind, that this life is important. There's no question about that. This life is important, but it's not most important. Most important is what comes next. And we need to remember that. We need to keep that in mind, especially when we're going through times in this life where it's not fun. Anybody go through one of those times where life just isn't fun anymore? Can we just take a break from life for a while? The resurrection of Christ points to a greater thing, a greater life, eternal life, both now and in heaven. You know, and if you're here and you're living a great life now, you know what I say to you? Enjoy it. Enjoy it. But don't lose sight of the fact that the next life is even better. Don't get so focused on enjoying this life that you lose sight of the fact that there's a better life coming. And we always ought to be thinking about that. And it's easier when it's hard, right? It's hard. You're thinking, man, I'm ready to go. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, right? Don't we always pray that when life is hard? Yeah, okay, maybe it's just me. And Kelly. If life is bad or hard right now, ask God for help. But then remind yourself, the next life, it takes all of that away. It makes it all good. And compare this life to the next life, which brings us to our second perspective of the resurrection, is this life is small compared to eternity. This life is small compared to eternity. In this life, it doesn't matter how great you are, how wise you are, how smart you are. Our perspective as it relates to God and spiritual things is small. Isaiah said that. Basically, we can't see the world the way God does. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways or your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Because our perspective is small, and it causes the issues of our life to be so much bigger. You know, the smaller your perspective is, the bigger the issues of life become. An example that I have, my granddaughter, Aurora, turns 4 on Tuesday. Woo-hoo! If we are, you know, getting near the end of the day, and she happens to be watching one of her shows, and we tell her, time to go to bed, you would think the whole world is ending. It becomes a big deal for her. I got to keep watching. I want to watch the show. And it becomes a huge deal for her. It's because all she can see is the right now of the situation. Her perspective is so small. All she can see is that little thing. But I look at it from a completely different perspective. I look at it and say, well, you can watch the show tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. I also have another perspective. If you don't go to bed right now, you are going to be miserable tomorrow. And nobody wants that. I see it differently than she does. And brothers and sisters, that's exactly the same thing for us. We look at the things of life, and to us, they are so big. And sometimes, I mean, let's be honest, some of the things that come into our lives are huge. Amazingly difficult and miserable and hard things that happen to our lives. Relationships and finances and health and jobs and blah, blah, blah. Just so many things. Sometimes they happen all at once, right? Like, it's hard. But if we could see it from God's perspective, we would recognize how small those things really are. Compared to eternal life in heaven, compared to God's perspective, the most life-altering things that come into our lives are small. Doesn't mean they're not important. It doesn't mean they're not something that is going to cause us pain and suffering or difficulty or whatever it might be in our lives. But the reality is that we've got to get ourselves to that place where we start to see them better from God's perspective than from our own. Amen. And some of you, your lives may be filled with just amazing, you must be maybe an amazing time of your life, and things are going great, and you get to watch your show as long as you want, whatever it might be. Enjoy that. But remember, don't cling to those things. Because ultimately, they are so small when it comes to eternal things. And maybe life is not easy for you right now. Maybe it's hard. Try to think from God's perspective. Try to see it from a perspective of eternity and heaven. And start to realize that it's not as big as maybe you are making it. Life is hard sometimes. And we have to remember that no matter what you don't have in this life, you have treasures in heaven. No matter what, how hard it might be here, heaven is perfect in every way. And if we can think that way, it will change our perspective on everything. You know, there's a saying I used to be fond of, don't sweat the small stuff, right? You've heard that before? Don't sweat the small stuff. As God has been changing my perspective, and he's still changing it, but compared to heaven and eternity and the eternal things of God, everything becomes small stuff. And the more we recognize that, the more peace we will have in our lives. Anybody want peace in their lives? If we recognize that all these things we get all emotional about, we get all frazzled by, we get all frustrated by, we get all angry about, if we would allow the reality of what God is trying to do in our lives and we try to lift ourselves above those things and see it from God's perspective, we can have peace. The resurrection of Jesus Christ can change your perspective on that. You are an eternal creature, or immortal might be better. Eternal? Yeah, one of those two. You're going to live forever. That's what I'm trying to say. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to live forever. All this stuff we get all tangled up in, there's going to be at some point in eternity, you're going to look back and say, what was I making such a big deal about that about? And it doesn't matter what it is. One final perspective of the resurrection. This life is not about me. This is one I'm still not convinced about. I'm working on it. It's a hard one for me. Let's look at the last verse of what we read. Ephesians 2:10. For we would be believers in Jesus Christ, are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I used to view this world for what it could benefit me, for what it could give me. If this life is all there is, right? If this life is all there is, I might as well get as much out of it as I possibly can, right? Does that make sense? That's a very natural viewpoint. I wanted everything I could get out of this life. I lived and acted like this world existed to serve me, to provide for me. And becoming a Christian, my perspective changed. Not immediately, but it started to change pretty quickly. And I started to realize I wasn't here to get out of this life. I'm here to give. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, came to the earth in the form of a human man, not for himself, but for his Father in heaven. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. I came to understand that God created me the way that I am on purpose. He made me who I am, what I am, the way that he did. He allowed me to go through the circumstances and the experience of my life the way that he did because he had a purpose for them. There was a meaning to absolutely everything that has touched my life, both before I was saved and after I was saved. That all of this stuff is on purpose. There's no accidents. There's no mistakes. There's no oops, sorry, that happened to you. God knows exactly what's coming into our lives, what has come into our lives, and what will come into our lives. And he does it on purpose because he's trying to do something. And I've come to realize that the something he's trying to do is good works through me and through everything that I am. All of my experiences, all of my mistakes, he wants to use all of that. He wants to do something, and he wants me to be a part of it. So instead of trying to get as much out of this life as I possibly can, I've come to realize I need to give as much of my life as I possibly can. I may not be here forever. May feel like it today, because we're going to go another hour or two. Kidding. But as long as I'm here, as long as I'm here, I'm called to give. Because Jesus died and rose again, I know something. I know that anyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's what the Bible tells us. I believed in Jesus and it changed my perspective. It changed my perspective about life, changed my perspectives about this world. It changed my perspectives about everything, and it's still changing, not all at once. I'm still in a process of learning, and for those of you that are here, you've been saved for a while, you got to recognize that's an ongoing process, that unless you are perfect here today, that God still wants to do some work in your perspectives, because you probably still are, you know, thinking more like the old life or the like the world than you probably should. That's just the reality of who we are and what we are. We are a continual work in progress. God is changing our perspectives. And three ways that he changed our perspective is that this life is not all there is. Don't live like this is all there is. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, don't live like this is all there is, because it's not. There's more to this world than just this life. This life is small compared to eternity. When you're dealing with that issue, whatever it might be, try to see it with the eyes of eternity and heaven. And then this life is not about you. Maybe one of the hardest ones. You know, like the man born blind, Jesus healed in John 9:25. He said, "One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." I was born life blind. But now I can see. Now I am truly alive. And I want to talk to anyone who's here that is maybe you're like I was 20 some odd years ago now. And you hear a message like this and it just doesn't make sense. I get you so well. I understand what you're thinking, what you're feeling. That these things don't make sense to us because we don't have spiritual life inside of us until God makes us alive. And so I understand. And if you're watching online and that's the way you're feeling, okay, I don't understand what you're talking about. That makes sense because you can't understand. But I can tell you something. That when that moment comes, when that moment comes and God determines to make you alive, it will change everything. And it will change it for the good. I had a good life before I got saved. You know what? It got a lot better. Not always easier, but it got better and better and better. And after 20 some odd years, it keeps still getting better and better and better. I'm so thankful that God changed my perspective. It has filled my life with hope and peace and joy. I know the presence of God. I know what it feels like to have God smile down upon my life. And so one of the reasons why I stand up here and do the things that I do, because I want you to experience that too. We come to a time like this because God is trying to break, to make life out of death. If you're here today and you've never experienced that, I want to give you an opportunity right now that when we come to a time like this, and if you've never been made alive by God, now many of these things are foreign and alien to you, but I want you to understand something, that right now, if that's you, if you are not a Christian right now, you're going to understand something, that you are here in this moment for a reason. And one of those reasons might be because God is trying to get your attention. He wants to make you alive. But he's not going to do it against your will. He invites us into a relationship with him. And so I've said these things, I've talked about all these things, I've described all these things to you, but ultimately you're going to have to choose. I remember the service, the very first service that I attended as a believer. I actually got saved before I went to that church service. And I was sitting there in the sanctuary as the pastor was saying something. I have no idea what he was talking about. Wasn't really paying that much attention. But I remember one thing that he said. He asked the question, do you believe these things or not? And it was at that moment that I sensed something. I sensed the answer. The answer was yes. And I believe there was something happened in me right in that moment. That life happened in that moment. And so my exhortation to you, my request to you is just to look inside of your heart right now. And I'm not just saying this to people that I don't know, because some of you people have been sitting in this church for a long time, may not even know Jesus Christ. If that's the case, you need to ask yourself the question, do you believe these things or not? Are you truly experiencing the life of God? Or are you just going through the motions?